Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Hello, it's Stephanie White from Louisville Family Fun, and I'm here at the Louisville.am studio coming to you from the Highlands, and we have a new episode of Louisville Family Fun, and on this episode, we're gonna help you stretch your dollars, okay? We are going to talk about consignment sales because parents, the fall is upon us, and you know the kids have grown out of those clothes from last year. And consignment sales are a big deal here in Louisville. I mean, moms get out there and they've got them scheduled in their calendars and they've got their lists ready and they know when the half price days are and where all the sales are. And they hit all of them. It is a mad game to find the best deal you can to stretch those dollars and get the most for your kids. So that's what the theme of this podcast is going to be all about. And so we're going to talk to one of the owners of a local consignment sale who happened to have started this out of her garage many, many years ago and has blossomed into a big consignment sale here around town, and that is Suzette Decker with Kid Stuff Sales. So she's going to have a nice chat with me about, you know, what's the advantages of selling at a consignment sale and what's the tips for finding the best deals if you're a shopper. And so we're just going to chat about consignment sales so that you can really maximize your dollars and get all the best tips regarding these sales. And don't forget, at the beginning of the episode, you want to tune in real close because we're going to have a Friday funny for you so that you can tell your kids one of these cheesy, we're talking cheesy jokes here. Okay, you just laugh because it is that cheesy. On the Friday funny, all of our guests are going to have a joke that you can go tell your kids so that you can surprise them with maybe a knock-knock joke that they haven't heard before, but really, really cheesy people, okay? So let's get right to it. Let's talk to Suzette Decker and see what she has to say about consignment sales. So as I said, we're going to talk about consignment sales, and I do have a guest here. And you can think about starting your own business and coming up with an idea and then just doing it. Well, that's what Suzette Decker did with Kid Stuff Sales out of her garage. So I'd like to welcome Suzette to the Louisville.am studio here in the Highlands to participate in the Louisville Family Fun podcast.
Hi, Stephanie.
So it is nice to have you here to give your expertise. And I would claim you as a consignment sale expert because anyone who starts something in their garage and then grows it to having multiple locations where people mark it on their calendar and they hit those sales, that's successful.
Oh, thank you. It's been a lot of fun. There was just definitely a need. And again, starting off in the garage as a glorified yard sale slash kid stuff exchange, it's grown into something that families really count on.
So give us a little bit of the history behind it. You know, when was that? You sometimes post a picture on your Facebook page and you have like a fanny pack
yes.
Where you keep your money.
The late 90s.
Yeah.
Yes. Basically, we just did it in the garage. My mom and I set up racks. We hung them from the rafters of our garage, which didn't turn out to be a good thing. That's a whole nother story. But yeah, folks came and brought things they wanted to get rid of, sold it, exchanged, and it worked out great. We first had like 30 or 40 moms that participated, and it just kind of grew from there.
So what year was that?
It was 96.
1996. Yeah. I graduated high school in 1996.
Great. Wow.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just giving reference. That's
yeah.
Awesome.
That well, is. It's fun because some of these moms actually are still with us. They have, you know,
right.
College-age kids now, and they right. volunteer and help, and a few of them have had fourth and fifth children much later.
Yeah.
And they're starting all over. So
I just love
fun.
The kind of entrepreneurial spirit of it all, you know, when I see that picture of you in your garage. And so why did you decide I'm going to do this?
You know, I don't like shopping.
Okay.
That's the honest truth. I am not a shopper. And the, you know, to be able to find bargains and a selection, do it twice, quick in and out. I mean, I really clothed my kids through this sale. for okay. all those years.
So it was a personal – how old were your kids when you started it?
9 months and 2.5.
Okay. So you were like, I need a more efficient way to do this and save
– save money. Yeah. And, okay. and it was. I mean, they had a much better wardrobe than I did through those years. That's for sure.
I know.
But it was great. And really everything they need, I would find there. Maybe and occasionally I'd need to get a coat or a belt, you know, obviously like undergarments, things like that. But for the – you know, the base materials that they needed, you know, jackets, sweatpants, jeans, outfits. I mean, everything and anything that a child needs, you can get at a consignment sale.
Right. I like using it for kind of sporting stuff because mm-hmm. people don't wear it out. So right. you started out with your mom,
right.
you said doing with your mm-hmm. mom. And what has it grown to? How many people, you know, work with you on this? And
oh,
when you have a
gosh.
Sale, how many, you
it's
know.
It's great because
give us some numbers.
Hundreds of people volunteer. I mean, they volunteer to shop early. They volunteer to earn a higher percent of their sales. So it's, I mean, it takes a small army to pull off the event. But we've got it pretty much turnkey now. You know, we know how many people we need on the register and just to keep it running smoothly. We enjoy the size of our sale. It's manageable. You know, we don't want people waiting in line for 3 and 4 hours. So, you know, we know how many people we need to pull that off and try to stay within those guidelines.
Right. So here we have, you know, somebody who had an idea, opened up the garage, and now you have how many sales?
We have 3 sales each season, Southern Indiana, Oldham County, and Louisville. And they're community events. You know, it's a different set of sellers, a different group of shoppers. It's really, each sale is very unique. And that's kind of hard to understand. I mean, some folks think it's the same stuff brought to 3 different sales, but that's not the case. I mean, we may have 10 or 15% of people that will do all 3.
Right.
But each sale is different inventory, different size
so
ranges.
So you could shop all 3.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And really, we have to clarify that every season because folks, especially if they're new, they think it's just the same stuff, like what's left.
Right.
Moved.
So the last one will just be bleh.
Yeah.
But no.
No.
New stuff.
No. No, and I mean, each sale, again, given the community that it's in, different things are brought. It's just really, really interesting.
Right.
That part of
and
it.
And sometimes, you know, you see the pictures of consignment sales and it's overwhelming. You'll
mm-hmm.
see, you know, 10,000. It seems just like an infinite number of certain, you know, a bouncy for the kids
yes, whatever,
or something.
Whatever the
that
current
hot thing is.
Yeah, it could be that little giraffe that was so popular for a while. Or
right.
You know, the extra saucer styles, the colors change. It's funny having done this so many years to see
oh, yeah.
the changes
the styles.
In the styles. And that's why I'll tell young moms because they'll say, you know, I just don't – we're not done yet. We're not sure that we're done. You know, we want to hang on to all of our stuff. And I understand that, but I really encourage them, don't keep it too long because that mauve and blue extra saucer that you have –
No.
Chances are you're not even going to want it
right.
when the time comes.
Sitting
you're going
to
want the new teal and brown or whatever.
Right.
And as cheaply as you can replace it, clear up your storage. You know, go ahead and sell it now because I promise you we can find it again 2 years from now when you have that baby.
So let's talk about that, about consigning in general.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the selling aspect of it.
Yes.
So what are some of the benefits of selling? You just mentioned that styles, trends change, so you might hold on to something and it's no longer the cool,
yeah.
hip, baby thing to have anymore.
Right.
What are some other advantages? Why would you encourage someone to sell?
Well, I mean, really, again, styles change. You're not sure if your seasons are going to match up, or sexes for that matter, when you have that child. So when you get to the point where you have things that you just don't love, I mean, if you really love something, absolutely
hang on to it. If it means something.
Right. But for the most part, once they've outgrown it, you're better off preparing for a sale. You do it all at home, you know, create a barcode tag for it and bring it to the sale. You can sell it all 3 if you'd like. So
right.
there's a really a big bang for the buck on the effort put into it. But, you know, you don't want to keep things too long because the older they are and the more dated. And, you know, consignment shopping moms, they like trendy stuff too. I mean, they're not, you know, the stuff that sells first is the stuff that's most current, obviously.
Right.
So you don't want to hang on to stuff too long. And plus the clutter in your home, we all know how much room all that stuff takes.
Oh yeah, up. As the kids grow, they need new stuff. You got to get rid
of
it.
I mean, and you bring it in, they play with it, you know, a dozen or so times, then it kind of fades to the back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And once in a while, the only time they really want it is when you pull it out to tag it. Then they're like,
right.
"Mom, I love that toy."
I know.
You know, so you know, it's a process. It's kind of being a good steward of your things and turning them over. You can usually make enough to buy at the sale the next coolest thing that your child wants.
Right.
You know, at a 80% off retail.
So another advantage is, of course, making money from
yes.
it.
Yeah, you'll make, you know, usually the moms that, because I've, again, moms that have been with me for years and years that have 4 or 5 kids, they usually make enough from what they sell to buy what they purchase. So they're basically shifting that same pool of family resources to the next season for their kids.
Right.
You know, instead of keeping everything and keeping buying, because by the, you know, if you keep it too long, again, you're not going to get as much for it.
Right.
You know, so.
And so it's almost like, oh, you could keep the money and come out with a surplus, mm-hmm. or it could just be a wash every year. I get rid of some stuff, but I get what they need now.
Right.
And I didn't output any money.
Right. Or
right.
very little.
Or very
you know,
little.
Very little.
So that's
it's,
awesome.
It's a nice way to kind of keep control of that part of your budget.
So let's walk through if somebody's going to be a seller at a consignment sale. Where should they start? What is the process?
Mm-hmm. Sure. You can go directly to our website, kidstuffsale.com. And what happens when you go to the website is you're registering for a seller number or an account with our online tagging system. And when you do that, you can tag at your leisure at home, which means you pull out your items, you fluff them in the dryer. We suggest putting like a damp washcloth in the dryer. Just you don't have to wash everything because moms are going to wash it before they put it on their kids.
Right.
But just freshen it up and hang it and prepare it at home. And then bring it to us.
And do not wait. I see all my friends who register for consignment sales and stuff like that wait to the last minute. And then
yes.
it's like, oh, why did I do this? Well, you did it to yourself,
yes.
procrastinating.
Wouldn't
be that bad if you spread it out over time.
Right. Yeah, 80% of the items are added like in the last week before the sale.
Right.
Folks register months before, but they wait until, you know, it's just we're busy.
Right.
Moms are busy.
Right. So start if you're going to do a sale. One of your fall sales, you mm-hmm. could even start in the summer, kind of going through the items, setting them aside,
yes.
checking
yes.
them, you know.
Hanging them. I mean, everything, once the tagging system is open and registration's open, you can actually create your online account and do your barcoding. But there's a lot of stuff you can do in the meantime.
So you type all your stuff in the barcodes, you print them out yourself.
Yep, you print them at home. And you can either type in a description if you want to know that it's Susie's pink jacket that's a size 4, you can type that in, or you can just create, you know, bulk tags, like a bunch of $4 tags, and just sit there watching TV and put them on.
And you choose your own prices.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
So give some tips on that, because, you know,
clothing is
what's
hard.
The most effective
yeah.
way to price it? You know, if you price it too high, somebody might not buy it.
Right.
You price it too low, you're cutting yourself out of
yeah.
some of the money you could have earned.
If you think about the size ranges also, everyone's got lots and lots of itty bitty stuff, you know, 24 month and smaller sizes.
Right. So
you really want to be aggressive on your pricing, be very competitive with, you know, with your pricing, with not aggressive, but you know what I mean?
Because there's so much
right,
stuff.
Right, exactly. Now, is
we're having an economics lesson here, supply and demand.
Exactly.
Would you like me to start drawing some curves? I did this in graduate school,
exactly.
you know.
And, you know, once in a while, you'll find consignment sales that will limit the number of the little bitty pieces. And that's why, because if everyone has 30 pieces, you know, everyone has an even chance of their stuff selling.
Right.
If you have one mom that has 300 pieces of itty bitty stuff, she's probably going to be pretty disappointed. I mean, even though she has more, the racks are too full. You can't shop
it's gonna,
it.
She's it's not going to have a successful sale.
You're better off choosing the very best of your items and stay with the
pricing
guidelines.
Them competitively.
Exactly.
But if you're like me, who has a 6-year-old, and you still have good stuff that
yeah.
you can sell, that's harder to find.
It is harder to find, especially boy clothing.
Because they get torn.
Yes.
They wear them.
They really do. And the larger sizes, you can ask a little bit more. You know,
right.
And usually the rule of thumb is 25 to 30% of retail.
Okay.
But again, keep in mind the brand. You know,
right.
if it's a boutique brand, you're going to be able to, you'll be closer on the 30 to 35%. If it's a typical department store brand, you know, you don't want to ask $2 for what someone can go buy it for $4 on sale. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because they start to mark stuff down, too,
yeah.
at the end of the season.
So be aware of
yeah.
the pricing that's out there and price accordingly so that your stuff will move.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the
do
larger,
people – oh, go ahead.
No, I should say the larger sizes you can, you know, ask a little bit more for. And the boy clothing, we can never have enough families with boys.
Oh, yeah.
It just seems like between, like, the 3 to 6 – 3T to 6 in
yeah.
there.
Yeah, I don't – my son, we don't end a season without holes in every pair of pants.
Yeah, so if you have friends with boys, send them our way.
Oh, we'll right.
get rid of their stuff.
And so what about the hangers? People provide their own hangers?
Yes, they provide their own hangers. We can source them for them if they need hangers. Wire hangers work best because you can pin the garment to the hanger easier
uh-huh.
and they take up less room.
Oh,
if
okay.
everybody had the big, thick plastic ones – it makes the racks really tight and really hard to shop.
Okay, so you recommend wire hangers.
Absolutely.
People need to get safety pins.
Yep, safety pins.
They need to stock their printer.
Yes. A new ink cartridge and maybe, you know, print a few pages before you start doing your tags, because if the barcodes bleed, they won't scan. And that slows the registers down.
It's a, give a test run on your printer.
Absolutely, yeah. And we usually use the draft or fine print. You know, you don't have to use a lot of ink, because those white stripes in between the barcodes
you have to be able to see them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we suggest cover stock paper, not card stock. Cover stock is a 60-pound weight paper, the same weight as an index card, and uses less ink.
And when people get an account, I'm sure you have this information.
Absolutely.
Right, the guidelines.
Yeah, but you know, if you have some scrapbook paper at home and it's 100 weight, use it.
I mean, right.
You know, we're not picky on that. We suggest certain things to save you basically time and money.
Right. And so when a person, the sale's going on, and you, I am a seller and I have my account and I can monitor how much is being sold and how much I'm getting back.
Exactly. Say, for example, you've entered 100 items and you know the retail value of those 100 items. Each and every night when the sale closes for the day, we upload the sales for that day, and you can see item by item what's sold. So you'll know specifically if it's that pink jacket or if it's a book. Now, I mentioned a minute ago, you can put as much detail in your tagging as you want. If you want to know exactly it's a Rothschild coat that was $40, you can put that detail. But if you end up with two huge boxes of books, you can tell the barcode system, give me 50 tags that are a dollar each.
And
you can
and
do
you don't
both.
Have to put it all
exactly.
in.
Exactly. And that way, you really only have to put the detail on the items that you really want to track. Because it takes time to do that. But there are some moms that I work with that put detail on every item they bring, and some use all bulk tags, and they're Suzette, once it's out of the house, just mail me my
get
check
rid of
I'm
it.
Done.
Okay.
You know, so our system will work with whatever basically level of detail the mom wants.
So what happens when the sale ends and you're a seller?
Yes, when the sale ends, we have a specific timeline on the website that tells you when to come claim your unsold items, and then you pick up your check that afternoon at the sale. And again,
away, no waiting.
No, there's about a 5-hour window when we're sorting the items and getting ready for the moms to come to claim their things, that we're verifying the accounting piece, adjustments if there needs to be any, like if someone has volunteered and they're earning 80% instead of 70, we make sure those adjustments are captured, because those are manual changes, and then we're ready for them. We print the checks right there on the spot.
Okay, and if somebody doesn't want their clothes back?
I was going to say I would say probably 20%, 25% of the moms, when they drop off, they're like, you know, I'll be back to volunteer, but then just mail me my check. You know, they don't come back.
And then you donate?
Yes. We donate the items and we mail them their check.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's fantastic. Now let's talk about shopping a consignment sale. Mm-hmm. It seems to be an athletic sport for which we might need to assign medals.
Yes.
You know?
I would agree.
Because
it's
I know
for the weary.
I have tons and tons of moms, and I'm always, people are reporting back, I got this for this much money, or I'm heading to that sale right when it opens, or I'm waiting for the 50% off day. And it seems to be such a sport. So what are the tips for people that want to shop?
It is super fun to shop for bargains. Really, if you want just the very best selection, the best thing to do, really, if you can and if your family schedule will allow, is to volunteer. Because if you volunteer a four-hour shift, you get to shop before we open to the public and before all the other pre-sales, like the consignor pre-sales.
Okay.
So we really value all those volunteers I was telling you about that help us pull off the event.
And I bet volunteering is kind of fun.
It is fun. We have a phenomenal group of ladies. We meet new young moms every year. I mean, that's really part of the joy in it for me.
And you can scope it out.
Yeah, exactly.
You get your eye on the prize.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone likes to volunteer on the front end for that reason. And that's part of the fun. You get to see what's brought in.
Right.
But when you're preparing to shop, it's really good if you have a list of what you need, truly need, because you kind of get in there and you get caught up in it.
Right.
And you start it's $2. It's $2. And before you know it, you've got probably twice as much as Johnny needs. You know what I'm saying? And you may have spent more than you wanted to. So it's really good to have a list of what you actually are looking for. The sales are highly organized. You can go right to the boys' shoes. You can go right to the girls', clothing by size. It's very organized. So if you're organized coming in, you will save a lot of time.
I've done that before. I've been out at places and called my husband and said, can you look in the closet? Mm-hmm. I think I have a pair of shoes that I already got, and I want to get the size smaller.
Yes.
Can you writing that down beforehand.
Our sales, our fall and winter sale is in August and September. Chances are they're still wearing their, shorts. You don't, you don't know what size blue jeans they need.
So you have to check them before
you come. You really need to go into their closet, take a peek. Some moms will bring one of their kids' shirts, jeans, and a shoe
to compare.
They'll bring them with them so that you know, because you know, usually a lot of families leave their kiddos at home. You know, they shop on their
own. Oh, it would be crazy. Kids would be touching everything.
It's hard. It's hard on them.
Yeah.
It's more fun to shop for the mom, you know, when they can focus on the shopping. But to be able to choose your sizes, and then they don't have to worry, you know, that they know that they need a pair of khakis and they need a pair of winter boots, you know,
right,
what size they need.
So what are some of the I was going to ask you another question, but then I thought, inform people about the sale days, the half price days.
Yes. In Indiana, in Oldham County, our half price day is the Saturday date of sale week. And that's an all day half price sale from 10 to 5. In the Louisville venue, it's a day longer. We have 25% off on the Saturday sale date and 50% off on Sunday.
Okay, so those are for items that the seller has elected to allow to be discounted.
Exactly. Yeah, I would say probably 80% of the inventory is yes discount, which means that mom,
because they just want to get rid of it.
Right.
They're whatever,
like,
it is.
Taking the time to tag, they'd rather get $4. You know, if it doesn't sell for $8, chances are if it's still there on half price day and it's $8, it was probably overpriced to begin with.
Okay.
You know, think of your price point too for the, you moms that are thinking about selling. You know, price point's really key. The closer you get to $10 on a two-piece outfit, that kind of sounds like a lot for a used outfit. Again, it depends on the brand and it depends on the condition and if there's accessories with it, you know, that type of thing. But, yeah, the price points are key. But if it's there and it's half price, it'll be gone.
Right.
It'll be gone.
So that's, you know, some people just go specifically for those.
Some folks don't come to the sale until half price day.
Just they those, figure they want the bottom bargain.
Yep. If it's meant to be. And really the selection is phenomenal, even on half price day. And it's really fun for me to watch on that day because folks that come for the first time, they're buying a lot of the full price stuff.
Right.
Because they're there for the first time. They think, oh, I can't believe that's still here, you know.
Right.
So it's interesting to see. There's bargains to be found pretty much every day you go. Plus, let me mention this because this is really unique about our sale. We restock throughout the entire event.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And that's a new thing that we've...
You have stuff in the back and it's like, oh, we're low on...
No. We put everything on the floor as it's brought in during check-in. But what happens, those moms you were talking about that waited to the last minute... We don't lock the system. So they'll make their initial drop-off on Saturday or on Sunday or Monday during check-in, and they'll bring us their first 200 items. They still have 100 at home they haven't gotten to yet.
Oh,
so our tagging system remains open where they can continue to go in. I sync the inventory. It still shows up on their sold report, which is a phenomenal – it's just a great, great
feature
of our sale.
Especially if people have big items.
Well, and
it takes some trips to get there.
Exactly. So we tell the folks once they're registered, bring it on. Just keep tagging, keep entering. We can also add new people. I'll have folks that'll come in like on opening day and they'll be like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that you did this. They can go in that day because it only takes you a few hours. If you really get to it, especially big stuff like equipment and toys, you can get a lot of things tagged in a matter of a few hours. So we restock all the way usually till Friday.
Right. What is the registration fee?
The fee is $15. Prepaid this year, which is the first time we've done this, but it's really helped us to fine-tune our inventory because with having the sale lock at a certain time, we might be waiting for 40, 50 moms that life happens and they can't do it, but they're holding a spot, so to speak.
Right.
So by having the prepaid registration, that helps us keep the system open because we know those that have registered are really going to show up. You know, they're really going to make an attempt to be there. But then if you volunteer, the registration fee drops down to $10.
Okay. So there's more incentives for that volunteering
exactly.
than just the early shopping.
Yeah.
So what are some of the items when people come out every year at consignment sales? What are the items that seem to be, you know, when you open those doors, people are running to go get.
You know, it's usually the larger little tykes toys, the kitchens and the clubhouses and the playhouses, a lot of the little people.
Because they're the high dollar items at the store?
That and highly desired. And there might not, you might have 6 or 8 houses, you know, or you might have 30 extra saucers, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, there's less to choose from. And they are higher priced items, but there are specific things like the little tykes. You know, the plane with the people, you know,
right.
those types of
those
things
sets.
Always sell really fast. Bicycles, people
right.
are looking for bicycles, swings, you know, I think we had like 15 swings at the last sale. We actually hung them on a bar. It was
the
funny.
Baby swings.
Yeah, the baby swings.
My goodness.
Wagons are always huge.
Right.
Gosh, what else? You know, a lot of the outdoor and the bigger stuff and the unique stuff. We've had some really, like, the wooden kitchens, the pink and white and silver wooden kitchens that I'm not even, I think they retail for close to $400. We've sold those sets for like $200.
Right.
For, you know, for two pieces, three pieces.
Right. So the response there, I bet if you knew you had a unique item and you put it on Facebook, there might be some tackling.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Usually what we'll do is I'll have the mom send me pictures of kind of what they're bringing, their trunk or as they start to load, and then I'll post them so people can get an idea of what's coming.
Get them all excited about all the different things to see.
It is fun.
Well, that's really cool. So this consignment sale mentality is something that some people are kind of afraid of. They're afraid they're not going to have time, I hear some people say, or they make excuses or whatever. So what would be in our last thoughts here, what would be your kind of 30 second elevator pitch to convince them you need to just do this?
It is time consuming. The first time is the hardest because you're learning the system plus trying to get a grip on how to prepare the items and how to price. But it's not for everybody. It is time consuming. And that's why we also offer a tagging service. We have a service where the sellers earn a lower percent of their sale, and we actually have moms that do the tagging, and they're very good at it. They know how to price, you know, so that's really a win-win because you're still getting the things out of your home, but you are getting, you know, a percent back, which is, and they still get to go to the pre-sale. They still get to do all the fun stuff.
Right.
And then we also have a service where we offer to purchase the toys from them. Like, there's some gals that they just don't have time to do anything. And they can bring, usually we do it with toys, equipment, or highly seasonal clothes, like winter coats, boots. Like, we can't do every T-shirt and blue jean. We can't do that. But with the highly seasonal, desirable items and toys and equipment, we'll actually purchase it from you, and then we'll put it in the sale.
So if you're strapped for time, there are ways.
Absolutely.
To consign, get Absolutely. This stuff out of your house, make a little bit of money to reinvest in what your child
Absolutely.
Really needs now.
And if it's the larger items that you just need, you know, the strollers and the high chairs and all that stuff that takes up so much room. I mean, sometimes the moms are just like, I just need it out of here. If you run it over to us, if you have less than, you know, 15, 20 items and their equipment like that, we're not going to charge your registration fee.
Right.
And that, you know, basically that stuff will take us just a small time to tag, or you can tag it and bring it in. But we're not going to charge you the $15 registration fee for pieces.
Handful of items.
Yeah. You know, and I've put that on the website and the Facebook page for years. If it's a new mom and she wants to try the system, just to check it out, and maybe has, I think we've said less than 24 items, because that's three sheets of barcodes. The barcodes print 8 to a sheet
okay.
of paper. So less than 24 items. If you just want to try it, you know, you still get to go to the pre-sale, but it gives you a chance to test out the system and really see if it's worth your time.
Right.
And go through the reporting, see the online reporting. You get a little taste of all of it, and we're not going to charge your registration
fee for
that.
How do you deal with, I now have another question that I thought of, how do you deal with recalled items?
Each seller is responsible for what they sell, and the website clearly states that it's their responsibility to check the recall list. There's links all over our website. Once they're registered, we email them to them multiple times.
Okay.
It's the seller's responsibility to check for recalls. Now, if they don't take the time to do it, we also go through and with the books and on the website and go through and check as much as we can in the time we have to set up. But the items are going directly from the seller to the buyer.
Right.
You know, we're not physically taking inventory of them. So it's their responsibility to make sure those items are having.
And then the buyers should just
buyer
be aware.
Absolutely.
Of
yeah,
course.
Absolutely.
When in doubt, have your phone out and Google it.
Right. And lots, what's interesting too with some items, when there's been a recall on them, if you buy them and then send them back to the store, they'll replace it with a new one with the strap or with the, you know what I'm saying?
Right. So if you're a seller and you notice something is recalled, there may be a way to improve it.
Right. Or, like, for example, we had the Bumbo seats that needed the strap.
Exactly.
We actually had some of those that were dropped off. We didn't catch it. They didn't catch it. We didn't catch it until we scanned the floor, so we took them off the floor. But I had moms come in and say, do you have any Bumbos, even if they don't have the strap? They wanted to buy them, so we went ahead and marked on sold without strap. And they went ahead and got the strap free from the manufacturer.
Okay,
you know
gotcha.
What I'm saying? So they know what they're looking for, and they're aware that, you know, okay, you know, this doesn't have the strap it needs, but it can be obtained,
okay.
you know, for the safety of their child. But, yeah, it's the parent's responsibility coming and
right.
going to check on all that.
Because it's, you know, a big, bad yard sale.
Right.
Big, bad, organized yard sale.
It is. We basically provide the service of coordinating the sale, marketing the sale, you know, getting the venue, advertising, and helping the moms get their stuff ready.
Right.
Yeah, that's the service that we provide.
Exactly. And it's done really well at multiple locations, so it's convenient for everybody.
Yes.
So make sure that everybody checks out Suzette's website, Kid Stuff Sale. Spell it out for us again.
It's Kid, K-I-D, Stuff, S-T-U-F-F. Sale, S-A-L-E, kidstuffsale.com. And we have events in Southern Indiana, in Oldham County, and in Louisville. So we
right.
have three unique events each season and offer all the services I provided at all three sales.
Right. Pick, consign your stuff, get rid of your stuff, earn that. You'll, even if you feel like you don't have a lot of time, when you get that check, you're going to be happy.
It adds up quick.
You're going to say, that was worth it. Okay, so that was my little joke. It's time for the Friday Funny. We're going to end off our little segment here with Suzette Decker.
Uh-oh.
She has come prepared. And if you could see her, she's dressed like a clown. She's even dressed like a clown because she's so ready.
Hey, she's my joke-telling outfit.
It's her. No. We have the Friday Funny here. So here is a cheesy kids joke from my guest, Suzette Decker, so that you can go and tell your kid this joke and get the weekend rolling with laughter. Okay, Suzette, here you go.
Okay. Why can't a bicycle stand up by itself?
Bicycles. I don't know why. Why?
Because it's too tired.
Tired.
Get it?
Bicycle.
Yeah.
There's a good one. You have a bike rider at home. You tell them that little joke. They'll love it. Okay. So thank you, Suzette, for coming and sharing about the Kids
Stuff
sale.
Thanks for having us.
I encourage everybody to go out to Louisville Family Fun. We've got a consignment sale directory where you can find it, more information about Suzette's sale, as well as all sorts of ways that you can consign and take care of all of that stuff that's collecting in your house that you need to get rid of and make yourself some money to go and spend again. But thank you for tuning in to the Louisville Family Fun podcast on Louisville.am, and we will see you again next Friday.